Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Chris Talks Games. As always, I'm Chris, and I'm going to talk about games with you. And yeah, it's the first episode released in 2021. Crazy year of 2020. And myself and the guys in the Game Junkies podcast will be chatting all about the craziness of 2020 a bit later on in the show, so hopefully you guys will look forward to that. As always, going to kick off with a bit of news. Okay guys, so a few little bits of news, because obviously it was Christmas and New Year's, so there's not a ton of news been out and about, but we do have a few stories. First up, CD Projekt Red and the Cyberpunk 2077 situation. It is, it's not stopping really. I think I reported last episode that PlayStation and Sony had taken the Cyberpunk 2077 game off of the PlayStation Store because they promised refunds to everyone. Sony literally removed the game from sale. And that had a catastrophic effect on CD Projekt Red's stock and like share value. So literally billions of dollars has been wiped out on their millions if not billions has been wiped out on their value as a company. It wasn't great. And following on from that, there has been one class action lawsuit filed against CD Projekt Red, and there are a couple more also in development or in the process of being built up. CD Projekt Red are finding themselves in hot water and under pressure and under fire again. One class action lawsuit has been filed, especially focused on the fact that CD Projekt Red seems to have misled investors and the gaming industry and gamers about the quality and standard of Cyberpunk 27 on the last gen, like the PS4 and Xbox One consoles, particularly the base models. So a lot of the comments and a lot of what CD Projekt Red said about the version of the game are being scrutinized and looked over, and yeah, particularly how the effects of it has cost investors a lot of money potentially. It will be a interesting thing to see what happens. Class action lawsuits do take a long time to happen and go through courts and stuff like that, so it could be a little while before we do hear anything else. And before there's any kind of resolution, but because there is quite a lot of money involved, it might find it is handled a bit quicker and resolved a bit quicker. But yeah, CD Projekt Red can't seem to catch a break at the moment. They did also have issues with a game, I can't remember the name of it now, unfortunately, but they had a game that was online, then got pulled because of issues with China, which is like inappropriate content or jokes or like language or words used, which led to the game being pulled originally, and it was due for another release, but literally hours after it got announced, after the kind of concerns were raised, the company that was meant to be releasing it has kind of pulled out of it as well. So yeah, CD Projekt Red has had a pretty awkward time, really. So, yeah, that's interesting. Next up, Wii Sport Entertainment and EA. Wii Sport has recently posted online for a new job posting, and in the job ad, it does actually mention it's for a new IP, so it looks like Respawn is being given a bit of creative control and a bit of a chance to spread their wings and use do different kinds of games. So yeah, Respawn Entertainment seems to be working on a new IP. Could be a little while before we see anything from that. But Respawn seems to be the anomaly with EA. They do seem to be able to do things that some other developers at EA don't manage to, so they are getting the chance to do single-player standalone games without microtransactions and things like that, in the form of Jedi Fallen Order. I think the fact they're behind Apex, which has been quite successful for EA as well, is helping, but yeah, Respawn are holding their own and doing pretty well with what they're developing, so hopefully this new IP will also be a pretty awesome game. Yeah, it's a bit of a wait and see situation. I dare say it probably will be a little while before we hear any more, probably late next year, if not 2022. So, or no, or late this year, sorry. Yeah, I forget the time recording it is, this 2021. So yeah, okay, next up and last up, we have some Nintendo news. Firstly, they posted a Nintendo Direct, which is focused on the Super Mario or Super Nintendo Land in Universal Studios Tokyo. So, those out of the loop, basically Nintendo and Universal have done a deal so Universal can have themed areas or lands in their parks based around Nintendo properties. So, yeah. Super Nintendo Land is due to open in February in Tokyo. Looks pretty cool. And the director saw Miyamoto actually have a bit of a walk around some of the area. Show us other features, including some really cool wristband stuff, which where you can interact with stuff, earn stuff. And you can also link that to your Switch and earn more different bits, which is cool. But the big news story for Nintendo literally broke in the last week, and that is the appearance of two certain N64 titles on the Nintendo Japan website. What is getting people excited and caused the surprise with these games is the fact they are two N64 games, not made by Nintendo specifically, made by Rare. So basically, Blast Corps and Banjo-Kazooie were listed for 30th of December release on the Wii U, interestingly, which obviously they're not releasing games for the Wii U anymore. Is everything, most everything defunct console has been for the last 3 years, or pretty much 4 years now. So yeah, the fact that they, Nintendo Japan themselves posted these two games as releases, there was a lot of speculation they were perhaps at one point going to be added to the Wii U Virtual Console system or function, and they might have been working on a deal with Nintendo, with Microsoft, because the publisher is this, it is Microsoft Japan. But you might have found that the when they tried it out, they weren't happy with how it looked or how weren't happy with how it playing. So and then decided to not continue with it. Because there was a lot of fuss around it. A lot of people were speculating that could be the system that was wrong, it should be Nintendo Switch. It should have come out on the 30th of December on Nintendo Switch, or they could be teasing a Rare Replay game or announcement. But the Nintendo Japan themselves did say, come out and say that it was an accident. It wasn't anything that was meant to be posted. They have now corrected the error and removed the information from the website. So yeah, it could potentially hint to future Smash characters, or it can literally just be, be an interesting topic that needs to be looked at. That is pretty much it for the news at the moment. Gonna head on to the main section, and one note about the main section: it was recorded about a week or probably about a week before Christmas, week and a half before Christmas. So it's me, Matt, and Alex from the Game Junkies podcast sitting down and chatting about gaming in 2020, really. So hope you enjoy, and here we go.
Okay, so on to the last part of the last show of 2020, which is basically myself and Matt Alex from the Game Junkies talking about gaming in 2020, like a kind of year in review. So a few little things we'll talk about, a few different things, and obviously for better or worse, coronavirus, and that's going to come up. But obviously, we're going to give our thoughts on the year, and there's a couple of subjects that I'm going to bring up. So welcome once again, Matt and Alex. Always a good pleasure to have you on.
Thank you. I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex, and we are the Game Junkies.
Probably one of the last times in 2020 that you hear that.
Probably will be, unfortunately, yeah. Unfortunately will be, yes.
Yeah, so this is due out between, probably due out just before the year, I think, this one.
I think so, yes, yeah.
Yeah. So obviously we're gonna have our, at the end I wanna have our own kind of piece about our thoughts on the year in general. There are the few bits I've told you about I want to talk about. So one of the big events this last month or so, and a big event of 2020, was the launch of Sony and Microsoft's next generation consoles, the PS5 and the Xbox Series X and Series S. So start off, I want to get your thoughts on the launches. Do you think they went smoothly? Your thoughts on the consoles themselves, and like pricing, stuff like that. So what are your thoughts?
Well,
in regards to all that.
Before Alex comes in with what he's going to say, because he's going to have something pretty much more sensible to say. In the immortal world of Edmund Blackadder, it started badly. It turned off a bit in the middle, and but it's about the ending, the better. Apart from that, excellent.
Fair enough.
Well, to be fair, it was a clusterfuck. It really was. And before you take into account the people stealing the systems on deliveries, and anyone who did that and the scalper that they're all scumbags for doing that. But as to the actual release schedule in general, unfortunately, COVID put a lot of it on the back burner, and much of you don't want to talk about it because of how much it has had on 2020.
Yeah.
COVID has been, unfortunately, a big driving force behind it.
That's right. So you got any thoughts about the launches and
the systems? It's kind of mixed for me because the Xbox was and still is significantly easier to get. It's still hard, but it was easier to get because I think there's less of a market for it. More people want the other system. So that was still, as Matt said, a clusterfuck because I went into work early because I could launch up three different machines to make sure I actually got one. I had it set up. I went on to Game and Smith's Toys first. Both websites crashed, and I thought, right, what am I going to do now? So I went on to Argos, and I managed to get one. And I sat on the processing your transaction for about 8 minutes, and it was the most like butt-clenching 8 minutes I've ever spent. Just hoping that it would go through.
I can say, though, that I have no regrets at all.
Oh, okay. It's a fantastic machine. The PlayStation is a lot harder to get, but as I said, I think that was a much more down to it having more people wanting it me and Caitlin went on a bit of an escapade trying to find them. Much to very bad luck.
Yeah, what about you, Voker? What did you think about it?
I think for me, obviously 2020 in general has had a massive effect on it. The UK has always been a giant market for PlayStation, so whenever they have a launch, it's getting more and more successful in the UK. In terms of sales or console launches, the PS4 and PS5 have been like the highest ever in the UK market. So I think it's no surprise the UK is finding it hard to find systems because they're struggling to make them in enough demand, and then you've got the bots jumping in and snapping them up. But given how 2020 has been, it's a bit surprising to me that people actually have the money for the consoles. So 450 quid isn't a little amount. So either people have been putting money aside for quite a while for it. Like I said to you, or said a couple of times, if I had to pay for the Xbox Series X straight up, I probably wouldn't have one.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't be able to afford it, or I'd have to go through like a catalogue and pay monthly and pay, and I'd pay like 600 quid or something.
The all access deal with a lot is a very, very affordable way of getting hold of one. It was a genius move by Microsoft.
Yeah. Didn't you both have to pay full in the end, though?
I had to pay in full for the S.
Yeah, I got approved for the All Access, so I got All Access, so I'm paying the £28 a month.
Oh, right, because
Game Pass.
A lot of places said you had to pay in full to be able to actually have it.
You pre-ordered normally.
Yeah, I pre-ordered it on the game, on the All Access, so I just had to get approved for All Access.
I was reading a lot of stuff on Facebook because I was a part of the Xbox group on there, and a lot of people were saying that the company they had it with, like Smith's Toys and that, they had to pay in full, even though they originally started with the Game Pass, the All Access. Company, they had to pay in full.
Yeah, luckily that didn't happen to me, so...
Well, I was just assuming that the all-access thing was sort of irrelevant, and that's what they did, but I'm guessing that might have just been some places that did that.
Yeah, it might have been some places with all our online orders, perhaps, maybe.
Which you can sort of see why they did it, but it seems a bit irrelevant that they would do that, if you think about it, because they get the money anyway.
Yeah. Well, I think... I'll tend to get a bit more, because obviously you get Game Pass and Xbox Live.
I would have done it all access, but for when I was at work, they were gone in an instant, so I had to just pay in full at the time.
Yeah, that's the joys of doing it in the store, I guess.
And I think that's more the joys of just this year, because I don't know if you read it, but they couldn't get a certain part for the Series X in the quantity they wanted to, so they had to cut the supply down by a big chunk anyway.
Yeah, so it's kind of leads on to the next query about the consoles. Because a lot of people have been saying that this Xbox Series S and X are a sound console, the OS works fine,
mm-hmm.
Out of the box, the system's pretty good. The PS5 out of the box it needed a massive patch not long after it came out. Like, there's several issues being reported by PS5 owners that needed fixing. So a lot of people saying that the console on an OS and an operational standpoint wasn't perhaps ready to go. And obviously you got the kind of halo of Microsoft losing their big launch title. So all leads me to the next question. Do you think they should have waited till next year?
I'll see you, sir.
We're never nice to each other normally on our own show.
No, normally. It's because we're not on the Game Junkies.
There we go.
I sort of disagree with that in the sense that, yes, it will be better if it has more time spent on it. But it's a bit like Cyberpunk and the likes of, that they're always, when they're testing them in the places where they do test them, it's very specific to the console, but when it's being mass produced and obviously everyone around the world is playing them, there's a lot higher chance of stuff popping up that the few they were testing before sales might have not picked up. So there's always going to be some sort of issue that's not going to be noticed.
In terms of the Xbox Lost Halo, obviously, it'll be out till next autumn, which is disappointing. Me and Alex love our Halo. Losing a major first party game for launch with did hurt the Xbox, I think, a little. But at the same time, it was up against Miles Morales, which, when you look at the advert, I'm going to hate on the advert a little bit, I'm sorry. The two things about the game is it wasn't game footage they were using in the trailer, and in-ear headphones not available in-game. I'm thinking, like, well, why are you literally advertising things that aren't in the game? That's beside the point.
That is a good point.
That's beside the point, though. You mentioned about the OS not working on the PlayStation when it first
got. Wasn't it all requiring a patch?
It required a patch. This is not news. Sony knew the PlayStation was going to be launching around this sort of time. And they've been working surely on this OS for years. Why did it... Why? I'm just struggling to think why. Xbox is one. It's exactly the same OS as the updated one they had for the One. And it's simple. It's nice and neat. It's you can't get lost in the menus. It's really well done. I don't get why people have so much trouble.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just because it's new things and trying new things with PlayStation. Like, they've introduced a lot of different features, especially like...
Yeah, they... I can sort of get what you're saying, but the problem I have with the Xbox over what I've seen of the PlayStation is that, yes, they went on the assumption that if it's not broke, don't fix it. But going from the Series X, going from the One X to a Series X, it really doesn't feel like that much of a change. And I think when it came to something that's brand new, I kind of expected something a bit more new, if you like.
Alex, I hate to interrupt you on someone else's show, but I do remind you that you complained to me that the thing you complained about was that your TV couldn't keep up.
If you let me finish.
That's an improvement.
The performance...
It's not games and stuff like that.
The performance is there, but it doesn't feel like a new console, is what I was trying to say.
It's a lot quicker and more responsive in places.
It's absolute lightning in comparison, but it doesn't feel like I was launching up a new console. It just feels like I was launching up a chunkier version of my old Xbox. And I suppose I sort of... And effectively, yes, my biggest disappointment, though, with this generation is the D-pad.
I like it!
And I have to say is, I fucking hate it.
Why do you hate it?
It's just, it feels like a 360 D-pad. The 360 was the shittest controller out there. It just felt cheap and was shit.
Mm.
And they've taken the D-pad from the 360 and put it on the controller.
No, the Xbox, not very nice. The original Xbox pad is the worst gamepad.
I mean, obviously, yes, but that was because it was their first console. But then again, it's like PlayStation haven't really learned because they still haven't put a D-pad on. They've just given you four buttons. This generation just hasn't worked with D-pads.
We're going to disagree on this one, I think.
This generation is just awful for D-pads.
Everybody's analog sticks, Alex, nowadays. Everyone.
It's why I find myself using the Series 2 controller, because that is a proper D-pad.
By the way, I think my kind of thoughts on it are, personally, I think I'd prefer them to wait, even if it was like 6 months, so it's beginning of next year. So I think the Switch proved you don't have to launch in the lead up to Christmas to be a successful launch. No, the Switch had a really successful first year.
But it's also made he'd argue a comeback this year as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a surprise, I think, in some regards. But yeah, personally, I think in terms of Sony getting their IRS completely ironed out and ready to go, Microsoft in terms of getting the number of units ready to go, and potentially a big game to launch with it. And even if Halo still slipped and missed it, they could perhaps have something else ready to go, or a couple other things ready to go, like smaller projects. I think personally, I think I would have liked to see maybe like a 4 to 6 month delay, so like the first half of 2021.
I wouldn't have been upset about that. I don't think many people would have been. I think the only people who would have been upset about a delay would be, you know, the people who write the checks.
The investors.
Investors. And I'm thinking, like, this is unprecedented. We're living in unprecedented times, aren't we? Like,
yeah.
No one saw this coming.
I think that's probably part of the problem. They committed so heavily to Holiday 2020 before the COVID stuff took full effect. Like, both companies were locked in. Yes, it's going to be next holiday.
Would you have been upset a bit late, though? If you were an investor, would you have been upset a bit late?
Well, it depends on what the outcome of the launches are. Because at the moment, you're getting bad press about scalpers diving in and getting all your stock.
It's turned out to be a disaster in a way, hasn't it?
It's kind of
done sort of takes the piss, though, really.
You kind of done that at all, because you could just kind of argue, Microsoft and Sony's eyes, it's still a unit sold.
They don't care, they've got money, haven't they?
So, yeah, it might not be going straight to the hands of a gamer, but to them, it's a unit sold, it's money coming in. Which isn't a good way to look at it, in any way.
That's all
investors care about. What's annoying about that?
They won't look at how they sold, they look at how many it sold.
Mm.
Yeah. And what's annoying about the scalper thing is, because they still would have sold out, so the fact they didn't limit it to one console per address just really does take the piss.
Yeah.
Because they still would have sold out, so they would have made their money anyway. By doing that, they just
made their money impossible. Retail, though, there's no set procedure for that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It just feels a bit half-assed to them not to do that, to be fair.
Yeah. The thing is, Microsoft's saying it's probably going to be April time before they can actually start meeting the demand for, or comfortably hitting the demand for the Xbox Series S and Series X. So
that's the scary thing about this, is that to make a comparison, most of the UK will have received the COVID vaccine before everyone in the UK who wants a PS5 can get a PS5. I know it's trivializing it a little bit.
Without having to pay over the odds for it.
Exactly. It's a comparison I hadn't even, I just came in my head. I'm like, that's incredible. A lot less time.
What about your thoughts on CEX and the fact that they are charging more than the retail price for the Series X and the PS5?
You brought this up 2 shows ago, but by the time it's come out anyway. When you announced that, I actually had to pause the editing when I was doing it. Yeah. I was like, really? I don't know if you caught it, Alex, or not.
I have seen it on
PS5s for £825.
Yeah, I took a liberty of looking it up because someone actually wanted to. My mother works for one to me to see if I could find one because they were trying to get one for their son.
Yeah.
And they were selling them for £650.
That's a cheap one because some were like £800 at one point.
It's £650 for a Series X, and I took the liberty of looking it up. They're charging £810 for a PS5.
Yeah.
You were literally saying you could literally sell your console and make a profit.
Yeah, they'd buy your PS5 off you for up to £625, so pay more than you paid for the console.
Which is a mad thing to think, really, but people are more likely to buy off of them than scalpers because Connection Exchange offer a 24-month warranty on everything they sell.
Yeah.
So it's clever, really, because people are going to bite the bullet and buy it because it actually has a warranty on it. That's the mindset I was thinking anyway.
Yeah.
It's a scalper basically lose that warranty. But with Connection Exchange, it still has its warranty like it's a brand new console. But someone has literally picked it up and dropped it off to Connection Exchange.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a crappy deal to people who, the only people in the street who are happy to pay the normal price for them.
I'd say it's just,
I don't like it, to answer the question. I don't like it.
That's what I think. Like, if they just push back 6 months, I could have more consoles ready to go. A lot more stuff ironed out, but I think they just penned themselves into a...
Yeah, it very much was a meet the investors thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or then provide for the customers.
Yeah. Which is a shitty move.
Yeah.
But they're out now, so it is what it is, really.
Moving on to how coronavirus and COVID-19 has affected the games industry this year. Like, I think it's both positives and negatives in a way. I want to get your thoughts on how you feel that it's affected the games we've got this year, like, and when we got the games and things like that. And like, so now different companies have adjusted to it differently. Like, Nintendo publicly said they've struggled with the shift to work from home because of the Japanese work ethic and work environment. They're not used to working at home.
No.
And they found it a big struggle to switch to a work-from-home kind of model. So how do you feel like different companies have handled the coronavirus pandemic?
Some way better than others, obviously. I think that it's a good thing they wrapped Animal Crossing up before the pandemic really hit, because otherwise that would have really hit one of the best-selling games of the year, which got us through the lockdowns around the world. I think some of the Xbox studios handled it really badly, as proven by the pushbacks of Halo Infinite. They admitted, obviously, that the reason for the pushback is because of COVID. And I'm like, I know, but, you know, it's easy to blame it on COVID, and I suppose it looks better in the investors if they bet on that rather than not being able to get
picking,
work done.
Yeah, picking that up on that point, do you think some companies are using it for an excuse to delay things or to release subpar things? Or
releasing subpar things is no excuse. There's no excuse. Yeah. There's never ever a good excuse for releasing a subpar game. Yes, I'm looking at you 2K games.
Only 2K games?
2K game is the prime example, though.
I mean, you'll still buy the games, Matt.
I haven't bought one since.
Oh, fair enough.
I haven't bought one since. But some games are bad intentionally. I mean, look at Goat Simulator, for example. It's a terrible game. It's Goat Simulator. Buggy. It's terrible. But it's amazing. Yeah,
I mean,
Goat Simulator, that's
I was going to say, that was sort of the gimmick.
I know, that's an example of it being used, right, of an unfinished game, lack of a better term.
Did you? Being good. I take it the first time you played that was on Xbox.
Yes.
You should have seen it day one on PC. That was interesting. Because I went to a friend's house after school. Of course, that was when I was back in school. And we downloaded it on his Steam account. It was the glitchiest, buggiest shit ever, but it was just so entertaining.
And that
there's a difference between glitches that ruin games and glitches that are funny and add to it. And that's what Goat Simulator was.
And that's a perfect segue into one of the games we were looking forward to so much this year. And to be fair, it plays well on current gen now, technically.
Well, the new gen.
But new gen rather than old gen, which is CD Projekt Red's Cyberpunk 2077.
I really don't know what went wrong with that game, because they kept delaying it, obviously, because it wasn't ready. And they released it when it wasn't ready. And that confuses me so much, because... Well, like, if you go back to The Witcher, it's just not on the same level, is it?
I think what I've seen reading other stuff, like, they announced it about 8 or 9 years ago. So they announced it before this Xbox One and PS4 were even out.
Yeah, and then they had then he actually spent 4 years developing the game, I believe.
Yeah, no, I think it's just purely all the stuff to do with, I think they got too ambitious of what they wanted to do, then realised that the consoles they announced it for couldn't actually handle it. And I think this is something I've had a bit of debate about some people with, is like on a Discord chat I've been on with some friends, like I made the point of, should they have just cancelled the Xbox One and PS4 versions and gone next gen only?
I weighed in that same chat. Yeah. And my opinion is, in hindsight, yes, they should have done.
Yeah.
Hindsight makes you a millionaire, though.
Because it's plainly obvious that
it plays really well on the new gen and on PC. Now, if you download the new drivers and everything for it, then it played really well, no problem.
If you go on the PS4 Pro in the One X, which is actually what our systems are running it on, the One X version, it runs well. But if you go onto the smaller consoles and the base model consoles, it runs like utter shit. I've seen clips of it on the slim version going to 14 frames a second while driving.
Not good.
And I don't know how true it is, but people's consoles have like been fucked from it because they just can't handle it.
Yeah, I know consoles have been crashing. Like even PS5s are crashing for a certain amount of point. Don't mind.
But I mean, like,
so far, touch would have had no issues with my Xbox Series.
The funny thing is, the Series X and S, I don't know so much about the S, but the Series X is running it at a higher performance than the PS5. It has a different like performance mode, and it runs it better than PS5, which is
well, in theory, the Series X is the more powerful of the two, so in theory it should be able to handle it better.
Should be.
This is the sort of game where it will highlight the power differential between games. It will.
Yeah. If you compare PC though to Series X, it's mad the difference. Assuming your PC is that powerful.
But then the
official that is an expensive PC.
When the next gen patch for that comes out next year, is it?
At some point next year, but they've announced today there's going to be two patches, one in January, one in February, for the base model consoles. It's literally like to play Cyberpunk at a half decent quality, you're going to have to wait till February. That's pretty much what they're saying.
Oh, if you've got a last gen console, yeah.
That's what I was saying. If you've got an Xbox One or PS4, you can get a refund or try and
I don't know if you've heard, because this was news to me. I don't know whether it's true or not, but apparently there's meant to be a multiplayer coming out for Cyberpunk, but that was delayed until 2022.
It was something we were surprised at EGX last year, Alex, that they didn't do.
Yeah, but they've supposedly announced it and delayed it.
Until
2022. So are you realistically going to be playing Cyberpunk in 2022 in hopes that there will be a multiplayer? Or do you reckon that game's going to be over by that point for it being a match of players?
What I've heard is kind of like a separate thing. So it's honest, like, I think it's kind of like GTA 5 and GTA Online where they're same kind of universe but slightly different stuff.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of concept. So it's going to be like a online thing, but it's not going to be
like a separate city,
not going to be directly tied to the story. So, I think I'm really honest, I don't think I should do a date still. I think a lot of people put pressure on to put a date on it. I thought, we should be able to get it done by then. Mm. It's like, no, let's push it back a bit.
See, the four delays, I can live with the four delays. I don't want a game being delayed. As long as the game comes out good. I don't mind. You can delay it a dozen times, all I care. It's the fact they went back on their word and crunched, and it still came out broken.
And in all honesty, it's probably going to be more crunches because you got to January and February. They've got two massive patches to try and get the PS4 and Xbox One versions working properly.
Yeah, and so
to, the The bugs are acceptable. I think it's just... Well, I say acceptable. Obviously, I don't think it's acceptable. I don't... Minor bugs are sort of a thing you can live with.
You say that someone who hasn't had exactly a game-breaking bug.
No, as I said, I don't mind... I don't think minor bugs are necessarily a bad thing, because once it's harder to spot them until it's being mass played by everyone. But I think it just shouldn't have been released on the premises that the base consoles just couldn't run it. I think that alone should have been enough for them not to release it.
That was the whole point of the last delay, to try and get it running better on the PS4 and Xbox One. That was why the reason they delayed it from November through to December. So they could spend a few more weeks just trying to tighten it up and get a day one patch that would make it easier, make them work better, but it just hasn't worked at all.
I think to answer you the question you asked us, Chris, quite coherently, is all the main console makers had issue, but the people who had the problems the worst was CD Projekt Red.
Yeah.
I don't know of any game producer this year who had a worse time than them. I'm not saying that COVID necessarily had all to do with it. It didn't help matters, though.
No. But then there's other examples as well, like the Switch version of Doom Eternal. That was originally slated to be day and date with the other versions. They came out in March, and the Switch version of Doom Eternal finally launched on the 8th of December as a digital-only title.
Did Bob prefer to be behind that one, or did it someone else do it?
Panic Button were porting it. And apparently one of the big things that slowed down the process so much was COVID over the summer. Like,
well, Panic Button, of course, infamous for doing Rocket League, of course. So.
Yeah, and they also did the first Doom 2016 on Switch as well. So I have got, and a lot of people saying like they're amazed at what Panic Button have been able to do in terms of getting the game onto the Switch and working as well as it does. So they've done a good job, no doubt about it, but it's just the fact that it's so late. Like, Doom Eternal was on Game Pass before it came out on the Switch. So it's kind of like, I think it's kind of a bit of a shame that Panic Button struggled with their stuff. Obviously, it's going back and forth between Bethesda and Panic Button and stuff like that, and obviously all the disruptions that would have caused.
But the ESM coming did a good job. I mean, Ubisoft managed to get Valhalla out of any problems. I mean, apart from having a bland character, that we call it, it's still a beautiful game.
Yeah, and they managed to get Immortals Phoenix Rising out on all consoles at the same day and date.
So some companies, but seeing in some countries, handle things better in general than they look at New Zealand, for example.
Yeah, but I know there's a lot of speculation that insiders saying Nintendo should have had a lot more stuff this year. And if you look at this year compared to previous years of the Switch, there has been less Nintendo stuff. They've had a strong last couple of months. Obviously, you had Mario 3D All-Stars, Pikmin 3 Deluxe, and obviously now we've got Age of Calamity, stuff like that, like the Hyrule Warriors game. But a lot of people are saying there's so much stuff they expect to be announced and come out this year that hasn't. Yeah, I think that's going to be interesting to see what that means for next year for Nintendo.
There's going to be some incredible stuff next year, hopefully.
And obviously a big thing was how it affected how companies showed off games as well.
The showcases and things.
Showcases, expos.
Oh, EGX was a big example of that, wasn't it?
We loved EGX. You were demoing last year, and we were like reviewing.
Yeah,
it was a great experience, and
they would have shown off stuff like Cold War in the likes of it, where it would have been the same as Cold War, for example, would have been the same as what me and you did when we played Modern Warfare. But that, obviously, you didn't get that interaction this year, did you?
No, that's another good example, and we're going to skip back slightly about that. Call of Duty Cold War, broken as all hell.
But it's still £65 if you want to buy it on the next gen.
It's still broken as hell.
There's literally stories of the game. Yeah, there is literally stories of the game bricking consoles.
Actually breaking the console.
They say that PS5 seems to brick itself on rest mode anyway, so
yeah,
that was an OS issue. Mm. So,
but the lack of having any expos like that this year, where people can be hands on it properly and get a feel for what the game's like. I tried the Mana last year, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I enjoyed wandering around at the cute little game. I loved it. But no, it couldn't do none of that this year. In Germany there was no Gamescom. There was no EGX, obviously, or Rez.
No Rez. That was gutting.
It was gutting, but we'll get back there at one point, Alex, don't worry. And of course, there's no E3.
Yeah.
And then no Tokyo Game Show, of course.
Can Tokyo Game Show to go ahead?
Not in a traditional sense, though, is it?
Don't think it was as big a scale, but it had all the shows and that, and people were in attendance watching the shows.
It was certainly a lot more different than usual. So we had a lot more Xbox. The Xbox did their first party game showcase, and they the smaller studios as well. Nintendo had did their indie directs.
Yeah, the strange thing for me is Nintendo, again, with how they struggled everything, they said they found it really hard to get directs together.
They did a bloody good job, you asked me.
Did they? They didn't have a proper Nintendo Direct for 2020.
No, but when they did their little ones throughout the year, everyone had popped up. There was something exciting in all of them.
Yeah, I think
they nailed it.
You know, there were minis and there were like game specific ones. I don't think they had. Last time were really hit and miss. Some were really good. Others were a bit. Some only had one big announcement. But the issue is for a lot of people, Nintendo didn't have what they consider a full direct. You know, there's a couple that kind of felt like it with the length and how much is in there.
I know you're a massive Nintendo fanboy. Yeah. Okay, so I apologise in advance for this, okay? I'm not meaning to offend you, I'm not meaning to offend anyone out there who's a Nintendo fanboy. Is it a bad thing they didn't have a big director? Is it a bad thing?
I think, especially from a Nintendo standpoint, because you used to get directs every few months, you knew what was coming up. Whereas at one point we got to like June time, it was like, okay, Animal Crossing's out.
What's next?
51 Tabletop Games is out. There's literally nothing for this year announced by Nintendo now. They got to the point where they had no first party titles announced for the rest of the year.
And then the Mario Direct.
They've announced. Kind of annoying thing was they started doing drops on Twitter. Which, as a reactor, what I used to love about Direct is you didn't know what was coming up.
Mm.
Like, it could be a mixture of stuff, you didn't know what was next. Whereas Twitter, see our new game, Mario, or Paper Mario, Origami King kind of thing. Like, you know what it is, it's kind of a spoil, you know what game's coming up. So for me, I think it kind of took away from the kind of anticipation a bit.
I can get that.
You suddenly get a tweet, oh, check out this trailer, and like, it seems to be everywhere before you get a chance to watch it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of something that has, I kind of miss about the Nintendo Direct thing.
Mm.
I know the Partner Showcase was pretty good. They did do some pretty good stuff with that. But I think it'd be nice to have like a first party focused one, like, which is, so I'm hoping in January we're going to get one looking at the first half or first quarter of next year.
Guys, you watched a few of them. Did you prefer the State of Play or the Xbox Showcase or the Direct?
Probably the Direct for Nintendo. The problem I had with the Xbox Showcase and, quite frankly, the PS5 Showcase as well, is that they just dragged them on for far too long with showing games that they didn't necessarily need to show.
Yeah, there was a lot of filler in a lot of those.
Yeah, they, like, PlayStation, the first thing they announced was GTA 5 port to the PS5. I mean, who is interested at this point? GTA 5 is still fun, I'll give it that, but why start it with that? It just seems pointless. Why not just put out a tweet saying GTA enhanced version is coming to PS5? Why give it a slot to introduce it? It just seems like unnecessary filler.
And the fact they opened the show is just like, oh, the presentation that kind of lost me straight at the start. I was like, oh, really?
The presentations didn't need to be 2 hours long. It was just too long, I think. Whether the direct minis, they take up 20 minutes of your time and they introduce what's there. It might not be as exciting, but a presentation doesn't need to take 2 hours plus, does it?
You also didn't like the fact that they on the State of Play one, every 5 minutes, it was another hour and a half long of the X, the square, the triangle, the circle transition.
That's also the State of Play. Some of those plays have been quite good, where they've been like 20-minute direct-style ones.
Yeah.
Like, the first one was awful. I didn't get the order of the games right at all. Then they started a couple of good ones. But Sony State of Plays has never grabbed me. Like, the Xbox presentations I've never got into, because I think they are just overly long. Like, yeah, I used to do a monthly show, and I never watched any of the monthly shows because it's like an hour long, and there's a lot of stuff you'd have to sit through. And
particularly the ridiculously long transitions. If you put them all together, I think they're about 20 minutes long in the end, which is a potential period of about 2 hour video.
As I said, I just think 2 hours is too long for a presentation. Especially when they're adding filler games like GTA 5 Enhanced Edition. It's just not necessary.
I played GTA today on the Series S, and it's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely gorgeous.
But it's not even enhanced one. It's not got a patch or anything to make it run better.
Not enhanced yet, no.
Yeah, all they really need to do is just show their first party stuff, and that's it. Obviously, it's a bit different on PlayStation because there's just a shit ton of first party in comparison, but we didn't need to show the third party filler stuff. I don't think it was necessary, and that's what I liked about the direct minis.
Yeah, as Chris said, when you open with a game which is 7 years old at this point, don't get me wrong, still a great game, but 7 years old.
A lot of people thought it was GTA 6.
Three generations. I'm sorry. That's not a good omen.
No, it's not.
Didn't I?
Yeah.
A lot of people... Twitter went mad because a lot of people thought it was GTA 6 because they started with the Rockstar logo and people thought, oh my fucking God. And then it opened it up to GTA 5. So I can see what annoyed a lot of people.
If they led GTA 6, then they
GTA 6 would have been a killer to open with. A bit like when they opened Xbox Series X with Cyberpunk and Keanu Reeves. That sort of thing is pretty big.
Everything in 2019, wasn't it?
But opening it up with GTA 5 Enhanced Edition is just pointless. We've already had an Enhanced Edition. We don't need another.
No.
Yeah. It wasn't all bad in terms of coronavirus effect on gaming, because both the UK and the US saw their best years ever in terms of market growth and growth in sales and stuff like that.
I was locked up in the house for 3 months, so I definitely did a fair bit of gaming in that time.
We definitely did
a few games that I leave on the back shelf.
Is that the fact that Animal Crossing is on over 20 million copies in less than 6 months? In like 6 months.
20 million copies, and only on one console.
Yeah,
it's not like it's on multiples. It's amazing.
Yeah, but I mean, you put 50 quid a piece at 20 million. That's massive amounts of money.
Yeah, and that's, you know,
if you compare that to Marvel Avengers, they haven't even made their expense yet.
It's a lot of yen.
Yeah, so I think it has helped.
Nintendo did well.
Has hurt the gaming industry, not just necessarily Nintendo, but the others as well. Like, when it has been a big launch, because people haven't had stuff to do, it has helped build ourselves, yeah. build up the industry a bit.
It also helped in general with other games, well, because people were starting to dip into stuff like the Game Pass or into PlayStation's equivalent of it. And
there isn't one really.
They got certain things. Yeah,
they chucked like 20 games together and called it a Game Pass.
But also, there's some amazing indie stuff as well on the Nintendo eShop. And obviously, the amount of stuff from Steam, obviously, which was on sale, was ridiculous at one point. They were much giving games away on
Steam. Yeah, Steam, as someone who used to be a PC gamer before console gaming, Steam is just incredible when it comes to giving you deals. Like, you get quite a lot of the times during the summer sale and the Christmas sale, you get games that aren't even that old going up for like 60-70% off, when on Xbox in PlayStation you knock like a tenner off of it. So it's
big ones
here. It's so helpful to some of the little developers, I feel.
Like, I think the issue with the indie scene at the moment is I think it's getting a bit too big.
Yeah.
A lot of good indie games are getting lost in the shuffle.
Mm.
Like, there are a lot of things that are getting missed because there's so much else around them.
There's some games which look like they're indie games that are actually made by actual studios. I mean, for a long time, I saw Grounded being advertised for like a month before I actually dropped it on the Game Pass. But it wasn't until we saw the Xbox
July presentation
thing it was. But I found out it was actually an actual Xbox studio. So that's actually a first party game technically. We played it. It was cutesy, it was cool, it was fun to play. But we were in no illusion because it wasn't finished. And part of me wondered if maybe they should have done a Cyberpunk on the game part of the game preview. But obviously, I jest.
You pretty much beta players, really. So.
Yeah, it was good, but that's good fun.
Yeah. But anyway, moving on to the next picks, I think we can talk about this class off for quite a while.
We could, yes.
How do you think 2020 is going to shape the gaming industry moving forward? Like, what changes do you think this year is going to have for the industry?
A lot more contingency plans, I think. And they're going to have a lot more case of when they develop games in future, they're going to have systems in place which can be more portable, so they can do stuff at more at home if need be, or certainly with more things in progress. I dare say it will push a lot of stuff more towards digital than physical copies in future, which I know is something you're going to really hate me saying. But I do feel that digital is much easier to control than physical sometimes. Rather than trying to print games and things like that, it could make a big difference to it.
Yeah. My big concern going forward is how it's going to affect the trade shows. Stuff like E3, EGX, like, for how revered E3 is, you could potentially argue it wasn't missed this year.
E3 wasn't, no.
All the companies do their own thing. And you can't get away from the fact that it is expensive to do a game like an expo. Like, by the time you staff it, by the time you put a bit of your development team aside to make a demo for it.
Yeah.
Like, by the time you advertise it, you hire the space. Like, it is seriously expensive. Some companies can spend millions of pounds or dollars a year on trade shows. Do you reckon, after the fact that games 2020 are still doing okay, they're going to turn and say, actually, no, we don't really need trade shows?
I think, and Alex will hopefully back me up on this one, I think E3, if it was to disappear, no one would miss it. But I think in terms of like the PAX shows, EGX, Gamescom, those are the ones that people want to go to.
E3 seems very gimmicky, if you ask me.
Yeah. Yes. Don't get me wrong. E3, we all like seeing the videos and things like that. We love all that stuff. We loved reporting on it last year when Chad came on the show to talk to us about it. And then we came on your show afterwards to talk about what we'd seen. It was... E3 is good, but I wouldn't miss it if it was to go away and that go purely online. I wouldn't miss that. But I would miss the more local stuff.
The issue I have with E3 is E3 is traditionally that week where everything for the second half of the year got announced. Like all the big holiday games, all the big titles are coming up all the beginning of the following year. And what I quite like about E3 is all condensed into 1 week. So if you lose E3, when would you then do that? Well, would you prefer to be spread around?
We've seen this year, though. How like,
GamesCon doesn't really have many announcements.
Hmm.
EGX has never really been the announcement arena.
No,
they might have had some small little interviews and stuff like that where things might be mentioned about games that are coming out, but they're not in the industry of, hey, look at this game. Like,
no, but those sorts of ones are, I mean, E3 week, you see blockbusters announced that, but EGX, Gamescom and PAX shows is where you get the smaller companies announcing their games and definitely get hands on with their games, and that's the ones I'm more interested in. But me and Ank are more about the indies on our show anyway.
I'm just worried that companies won't be as invested in trade shows after this year.
I've got to admit, it worries me a little as well, but that might go that way.
Yes, you might not have as many pre-release stuff. You might have stuff that's literally imminent, and not stuff that might be a month or two away.
Wouldn't that disappoint me.
Yeah, so what if it's a game that's been out for 2 weeks, you got it at home, and that's why is one of their main things to play.
It would be interesting to play their version of it, and it would also be interesting...
What if it's the retail version? Like, yeah, it's been out for a couple of weeks, just have it here to show off, people can play it, just in case they haven't bought it yet.
It would annoy me, if that was the case. It would annoy me if it was just the base retail version, if that was the case, yes.
I think if games are already out, there's no reason not to have the retail version. It's like, yeah, you got 20 minutes, off you go, kind of thing.
I say that as someone who spent an hour and a half playing FIFA at EGX, of course. So.
You spent an hour and a half playing it?
Over the course of 3 days, yeah.
Fuck me.
You were on a stage for half an hour playing Mario Kart, I'd do something.
That was the best shit I've ever done.
It was.
I almost came first. I was gutted. I messed up on the last corner, but it is what it is. I came second.
That's the sort of thing which we'd miss if we didn't have EGX, because you don't get that by just watching your thing online.
That's what I do love about the trade shows, the fact that you can go hands-on, you can play these incredible games.
Mm. I mean, Tetris 99 had been out for ages when it was EGX, but it was still in the
book. It got everyone's attention.
It did, and the Tetris always will,
because
everyone loves Tetris. Even if you don't like Tetris, you like Tetris.
I mean, to be fair, some of the Tetris players up there were incredible.
And I think for me going forward, I think I'm concerned how much we might find more of the bigger companies sit some of them out.
Well, is it Sony then?
Sony haven't done E3 in 2019. They said they weren't going to do 2020 either. And obviously, it got cancelled at the end in 2020 anyway. So...
I guess we'll see.
How Sony have given up on E3. They don't need it. They don't want to be involved in it.
That's part of it. Effectively, going on what you were saying about everyone announces it at E3 and how would they announce it if E3 wasn't that relevant, I find a lot of companies, well, especially this year, they announce it there when they decide to announce it. So I think
to do it. That's the thing. A lot of people saying like
E3 sort of kicks them in the ass, doesn't it, to get them going and say we've got to produce it by this deadline. But without it, they basically just do it at their own pace and decide when they're ready.
I would to answer a question directly. I would miss the smaller trade shows, as it were. I say small, how many thousands of people went through EGX last year? But I wouldn't miss
I'd miss the indie side of it. the big games you get to play them eventually. Everyone plays the big stuff, but it's really the indie games that shine at that sort of thing.
The Red section at EGX was phenomenal, and as we mentioned last year, one of the best parts of that section was special effects for the gaming charity. We had want to get mentioned to that because it's places like that where you get to see the work they do.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely phenomenal.
And the shame was they were in what was probably the most hidden corner out of the way that no one ever seemed to visit.
Nah, and we sought them out.
Everyone had this big area and they were hidden behind the Monster Energy stand and the Marvel stand. You wouldn't have seen them if you didn't.
The thing is, it depends on how much they're willing to pay for their plot in the layout and how much space they wanted to buy.
It is a shame that's where a charity ended up. You need to put them to the front, sort of thing. But
to be fair, they're the more expensive plot, so. And that's like the thing. They're saying E3, as depending on how big your stand is at E3, costs you millions of dollars, literally just for the stand. That's without all the additional costs that's going on. So I think someone said that some companies could save $10 million a year by not doing E3.
Fine, then come to England then and do EGX instead. You're fine. Be cheap anyway. America is too expensive to do an award.
I did look at American
awards. What the E3 organizers are charging the companies.
Well, then E3 need to wake up and realize they can't do it anymore.
It's very expensive, America, isn't it? I looked to go in there.
It's very expensive.
We looked to go in there in 2021, and we just realised it wasn't logical. It's very expensive to fly over there.
Yeah, for the moment.
Yeah, but that's my concern about going forward. Anyone else got any concerns about how this year might change the industry going forward? Alex, have you got anything that you want to...
I think I'll say something
more to say
about it, personally. What about you, Alex?
I don't know. I think the main thing is I haven't really got much left to add, really, apart from I do like to see these direct minis, not so much the 2-hour-long presentations that Sony and Microsoft gave us, but I do like the things like the direct minis. I think little mini presentations every now and then to announce stuff is a really nice idea rather than announcing everything at the big shows. And I think I'd prefer to see it going that way, especially with the smaller indie stuff.
Definitely.
That's a good thing, because Nintendo do quite a lot of indie stuff. Like even today, or the day of recording, they did Indie World, which showed off a load of indie games coming to Switch.
Which surprised you on Monday when you heard about it.
Yeah.
We're recording this on the 16th of December.
Yeah. It's literally like Nintendo, Craft, and even Shadow Drop stuff, or they'll say 24 Hours in Advance, yeah, check us out tomorrow.
And they ended up announcing Among Us, which has been one of the most viral games this year. That's not a bad move on their part. First console to get it. Nice. Nintendo again with a game which broke the internet.
it's a bit like the multiplayer untitled Goose Game, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just the internet. Yeah, so that was a bit. What we want to do is just basically one at a time go through our highs and lows for you personally. So,
okay.
Do you want to go, Alex? Go first, Alex. So, things you've enjoyed about this year, like games or events, and things that have disappointed you or you've not enjoyed so much?
So the highs for me, I mean, I think the biggest high / most standout thing was definitely Animal Crossing. I think that just couldn't have come out at a more perfect time. Because obviously I was on furlough, so what I would have done in that time without Animal Crossing, I have no idea. So I literally spent like 6-7 hours a day some days playing that.
I'm not sugarcoating what I say here. I mean this 100% seriously. Nintendo have probably saved lives with this game. The amount of people who have been having mental health issues because of COVID this year, this game has probably saved a lot of people from going stark raving crazy.
The fact you got friends with it, you can be social with it, you can
exactly.
do chat, and you can rip each other's eyes and stuff like that.
Exactly. It's not, I'm not joking when I say it. I genuinely believe they've helped save lives with this game. It sounds weird to say that, but they have. Yeah. I love that.
Well, let's get Alex to carry on with his stuff. You can have your say in a bit.
I was agreeing with him. This is my high point as well. Absolutely the high point.
Yeah, so definitely Animal Crossing, and though it was a mess, I am going to say the new consoles, because it is enjoyable to play on the Series X. It's quiet as a mouse. It loads games infinitely faster than the old machine. So yes, there's not anything like game breaking to play on it yet, or console defying, if you like. Game breaking is kind of the wrong word, but I am sort of glad to see it now, because everything's delayed, everything's cancelled. So at the end of the year, they announced something nice and new that you were definitely going to get. For disappointing stuff, it's definitely, one was what Resistance was promised to be, and Resident Evil Resistance sucked. And probably Cyberpunk, because I think that was my most anticipated game this year. And I feel like at the moment, it feels very lackluster in everything that's happened. Not so much for the newer consoles, but just the base model. It feels like it should have been better. And I would have happily waited for another couple months for it to be perfect. But I think that's the other big disappointment this year.
That's fair enough. Then Matt, your year in review, your highs and lows in 2020 in gaming.
Well, as I said, Animal Crossing was a massive high. It kept so many people going. I know it's not video gaming as much, but it's something we've talked about a lot before. Getting to play D&D a lot. A lot of people.
I didn't pick that purely because it wasn't technically. I didn't really class it as a game, but it is something that we started this year, and I think that is the best thing we've done this year.
It's something that all three of us started, because Chris and Steven started playing D&D with another party this year.
Yeah, and I started another D&D group outside of it, which is it's a bit derailing, but it is fun. I do enjoy DMing that.
And me and Alex started playing it to pass some time. And drag you a bit of sanity, and it's grown into a monster.
It's a weekly series with like over 40 hours of watch time now. There's literally like 40 hours of content to watch on there now.
Yeah, and it's still 8 hours of content. I've got to edit before.
And the best thing is, the campaigns are not even close to being done. They're all just beginning, realistically, apart from your one, which is in season 2. The other three are basically just beginning. All Farm is massive, from what I gather. Mine and Kerry's campaign and Caitlin's campaign are all just verging on their big parts. So there is so much more to come.
I can't remember, your increase is in the second campaign as well, aren't you?
What's that?
Second campaign as well, in your campaign.
We've just started a few sessions into our second campaign of our characters and the one we're playing. It's also reignited me. I want to give a go DMing, so I've kind of got a...
It's fun. I'd recommend it.
Yeah, I've got like a one-shot that I've devised and I've tested against someone we play with outside of your game, or Dungeon Donkeys.
So you want to challenge us to run through your idea? We'll look into that maybe 2021. Yeah.
I'm intrigued. Chris, what do you play as your player character? Like, class and race?
I'm a paladin, and
you're a elf.
Elf variant. I can't remember what your variant is.
You told me that, I can't tell you.
Yeah.
What elf is it? Is an elf paladin.
Well, that's pretty cool.
He's like 18 armor class, and everything bounces off of him. Open conquest, yeah. And he's like barging through. Is that never?
You're a tiefling warlock, aren't you?
Bells and bang. Brilliant.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. And yeah, hopefully I can convince you guys to give my little one-shot campaign a...
Well, you've already got me convinced it's D&D.
I dare say that the order would be interested as well. It's always fun to have a little break from proceedings and if someone else give them a chance.
So I've already passed one of my friends and he really liked the idea I had for it, so it's something fresh and unique.
That's awesome. So that's my good stuff, obviously, Animal Crossing and D&D for the year. My worst thing of the year, I'm aware that as someone who does good cop, bad cop, I do good and bad all the time. It's normally be quite a difficult thing for me to pick, but it happened in the last few days. It's Codemasters being sold to EA.
Oh, that's rough.
It was going to take two, and then it went to EA in the end. And I'm like, that's like asking me to choose between a samurai sword and a dagger, which one I want to kill me. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. They're both sharp. They're going for to get the job done.
They'll ask you to... Basically, you pick one in here. Like, if you want to be killed by this one, you need to purchase I Want to Die by This pack.
Unfortunately. Because...
Out of the two, who do you say is the more... transaction heavy? Because
I can't fault EA for their marketing. I can't fault them.
Even though they had the adverts.
I don't...
About the Ultimate Team stuff.
I don't agree with that, but I say I can't fault them for...
So it's an advert in a Kiss magazine that doesn't mention the fact that it costs real life money.
I've on Game Junkies, I've actually said that I didn't agree with that. Putting that.
But you can't fault it.
You can't fault the success, though, can you? You can't fault the amount of money they've made.
I guess it's not a gambling slot machine in a basketball game.
When
2K have done.
When you put the two bids they had side by side, EA had twice the market value that Take-Two did. It would have been a no-brainer if it come down to it. And they offered more money.
And all cash rather than
cash. All cash. Over $1 billion for Codemasters. Now, EA have got experience doing F1 games in the past. That's why I know Codemasters so much.
I mean, it's not necessarily the worst thing. I mean, they do... Like, if you look at Star Wars Squadrons, they are learning not too much for a transaction. Everything can paywall everything. It is...
Even...
they do have some common sense.
Even Jedi Fallen Order, that's...
That is an amazing game.
And to be fair, Codemasters had the option to... pay to buy coins to unlock stuff, but you're saying, but at the same time, you are seeing what you get there. It's not gambling, you can see what you're doing, sort of thing.
Yeah,
I don't mind the game has that.
Slate EA, but there is some genuinely interesting things that come up from it. For example, Squadrons and Jedi Fallen Order. They are fantastic in comparison.
We've got Anthem.
Yes, which you're really looking forward to and tanked. But I reckon that Codemasters, if they keep the team the same, then the game will stay the same.
But to be fair, BioWare was an A-tier developer that everyone always looked towards what BioWare would go and do.
Mm.
And now they're kind of, oh God, are they going to survive past next year?
Mm.
If Mass Effect Legendary Edition in Mass Effect 5, Mass Effect 4, sorry, because Andromeda isn't 4.
Yeah.
Well, I have full faith in... I have full faith in the Legendary Edition. I think that is going to blow it away for them.
It'll make EA a lot of money.
Assuming the graphics are as good as what they've shown from the teaser, if that was just cinematic for that would be disappointing. But if they back it up, the game up with that sort of graphics, it's going to be fantastic.
Mm.
I'm sure they can learn from... The problem is, when they made Andromeda, they made it on a new engine. So it was new bugs that they hadn't encountered before. And Andromeda now is a relatively decent game. It's not fantastic, but it is enjoyable now that they fixed it. It did
have quite a high bar to live up to, didn't it, though?
Yeah, I had sky-high expectations for Andromeda, like I always have a Mass Effect game.
And that's what I'm going to have
when
the next F1 game comes out from Codemasters under the EA banner.
Yeah, just like Legendary Edition, I have sky-high expectations for it. But some games you do have it. Like Cyberpunk, I had sky-high expectations for. It hasn't met it yet, but I haven't played enough of it yet to see if it's achieved that. So we'll just have to wait and see.
We will. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, I think my highs and lows are highs. I think it's unreal. I think I'm happy with how much we actually did get this year in some ways.
We could have got nothing.
Yeah, COVID could have decimated the whole industry. They could have not done well from home.
We have been very fortunate.
So,
Could have theoretically cancelled the year.
But we did still get quite a few good things. Obviously, Animal Crossing has stormed the world, basically.
Who'd have thought running around, pulling weeds out, knocking down trees, and owing my
digging up someone's beach
would sell?
Yeah, but it's, like I say, I think it's perfect timing. Like, perfect by the storm thing, like.
They couldn't tell it better if they tried, could they?
So, yeah, that was a really awesome thing for me. And, like, that bit's good stuff. Like, Immortals Phoenix Rising is a good game. I'm really enjoying that. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2, that came out on time.
Maybe Avengers is one that didn't quite hit the mark.
Yeah, Avengers got delayed. Like I say, I'm really enjoying the campaign. I haven't tried any of the multiplayer stuff because obviously that thing is quite spoiler heavy. So until I do actually get around to finishing the campaign, I am going to stick more to the campaign stuff.
Yeah, I hope that all the DLC comes out because they haven't made back their expenses yet, which is a scary thought because that really does hint at not getting all the DLC content that was planned.
Yeah. I think they are. I think because I've spent a lot of money developing the DLC, I think they will release it just to try and make us up. I didn't ask you that. I don't think they're going to make all their money back.
No, and that is a shame to see because the campaign is good, as you said it is. Yeah. The multiplayer I've heard is kind of a flop. But
the campaign is all right. Guys, the fact that so many people stop playing it, that's the unfortunate thing.
It is.
So there's not much of a multiplayer scene.
It might come back, but
like I've just added Kate Bishop in, like Hawkeye. So she's now in the game and she's available for free now, I believe. Which is a great way to try and get people back in to play a new character. I think we have got some good stuff. Like I say, even though I think launch could be better, I am happy with the Series X. Like, so I've gone straight from a base Xbox One to a Series X. So for me, like the speed and the
efficiency, that's a big jump.
Is more noticeable for me, I guess.
The quick zoom as well.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I think the biggest loss for me this year was the trade shows. Like I say, 2018, 2019, I worked on the Nintendo stand at EGX and had a fantastic time. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, no voice by the end of it.
From
what I remembered.
I know, it was bliss.
It was such a buzz for 4 days. Like, just really enjoyed talking to people about games. Like, especially last year, because I was on the Mario & Sonic Olympic Games 2020, that was literally right by the stage. So I was right where all the action was happening, all like the hype and the buzz the atmosphere at the trade shows is great because you've got lots of people, we've got all the cosplay stuff going on, you've got stuff all around you advertising different games, so.
We had Doom Guy put his blade up to Alex's throat, it was fantastic.
Yeah, that was a good photo. I specifically wanted that because that was just a very fitting photo.
Yeah, no, it's just for me, I think the biggest loss for me is the trade shows, and the biggest low for me is the fact that we didn't have them. So I am really hoping they do kind of bounce back next year, but part of me thinks they might not be on such a big scale. So they obviously, even though vaccines are rolling out and they're saying COVID should be kind of under control by Easter, it's still going to be that tail effect, and whether they can go as big.
Yeah, it's
actually, you think about hands on. The amount of time those controls over different people's hands, like,
yeah, I remember when we were looking at Reds this year, and me and Alex, it was cancelled like the week before.
Oh, it was a massive pain because we booked the hotel and we booked it semi-flexible, so you had 14 days to cancel to get your money back, and they cancelled the show 12 days before.
It was
what a job we had getting our money back for that.
But we did. That's good.
Yeah.
But I can see
would be a struggle for next year.
I think it would be. But when we were there, while we were getting ready to go to it, I kept getting information dripped through to me from the emails and things. And the main one they were telling me was, make sure you take disposable gloves with you, make sure you've got hand sanitizer with you at all times. I can see that people still using hand sanitizer for years after the vaccine still, because it's just good common sense in general now, isn't it, to be fair?
Yeah, and unless you're a mask protester, then if you are, shame on you.
You're an idiot, you're a COVID idiot.
Yeah, like, the amount of protest things I saw for anti-masks and that is just... I think that was the disappointment of this year. Screw gaming, that was the disappointment this year. The fact that we can't band together.
Yeah, that's the whole point. You don't band together, stay at home, don't go out, just...
Stay at home, play games.
stay in and play games, stay alive, that's simple. Yeah.
And in 2021, enjoy games and go outside once you've been vaccinated.
Absolutely. EGX, I think we'll be back on 2021, because they've said that we will be back.
Res is a bit too early in the year.
The developers managed to get on board. That's the thing.
Even if you do a res next year in the autumn, that'll still be worth going to, because. And it will get sold out. It will be sold out because people were desperate to get back. Us fans are desperate to get back to the shows.
I don't think it'll be as big a capacity. So I think it'll be the capacity levels.
I think so. But yeah, so it's a start. We'll have
to jump on that then.
Yeah.
Actually, job, Alex, as usual.
Make sure you're following EGX social media channels when the tickets go up. So
absolutely. Make sure we always do anyway. We even get retweets as well. We do.
I think that pretty much covers what I want to talk about in the year in review. So
it has been quite the year, in a good way and a bad way.
A lot of good stuff, a lot of good games out there. Do things I never thought I'd see, like a 3D Mario All Stars collection,
a limited edition.
It's
gonna be out of print soon,
March 31st.
So you haven't got one, get it now before it's gone forever.
Hold on, get what?
Super Mario All-Stars.
3D All-Stars.
3D All-Stars on the Switch. Once it's gone, it's gone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, March 31st is when it comes off sale.
Yeah, it comes off the eShop and they won't produce any more physical copies after that day.
But if you bought it, you still download it from the eShop.
I believe so.
That's fine then.
You can't buy it.
You can't buy it after that date. Okay. That's fine then.
That kind of concludes our annual review. Quite in depth and quite a long conversation, I think, unfortunately, but...
You got us on it, we talked.
Yeah. final question for you guys. One game of the year.
Well, we sort of did that on our show.
I know,
Yeah,
this will be a definitive game of the year, like, about a few more days, like another week or so from when we recorded your show to...
The thing is, I can't speak for Alex, but I think we're pretty much in agreement. In terms of video game of the year, the best one we have played this year in terms of how much time it took up and how much it's kept everyone sane is Animal Crossing New Horizons. But the thing was, it was amazing, Alex. Don't get me wrong, but...
I Yeah, I as much
you
as
played
I
played one, you didn't play again for that run through, did you?
And that was what I got the most satisfaction out of. I still think it is Animal Crossing that takes a cake for this year.
No, definitely Animal Crossing.
Not a bad choice, yeah.
As someone who likes FPS in violent video games, I never thought Animal Crossing would be my game of the year.
It's amazing the difference of the year, mate. Like, this time last year, you probably expected to be Halo Infinite, I imagine.
But this time last year, I hadn't even...
Or Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk would have been up there.
Yeah, Cyberpunk
was I played a bit of it last couple of days, but it's... I haven't played enough of it for me to qualify on the list yet.
No, I've only played an hour of it.
Yeah, I think it's at least too late. So,
yeah.
because it dropped after we made our announcement for this year, it does qualify for next year's list if we want to.
To be fair, effectively, when the patch comes out for the next generation graphics update, effectively, it's a new review in itself.
We will be reviewing it on the show in the new year with Benjamin Banks, though. So cool. Make sure you listen to that. That should be our first show back, actually, in the new year.
Let's get playing it then, I guess.
Indeed.
But anyway, if people want to find you guys, where can they find you?
Well, this is the part where I say, Alex, spiel time.
as I only did this like an hour and 25 minutes ago, you can find me as Spiderbread UK. You can find mine and Matt's main show at Game Junkies Pod. And you can find our ever-growing collection of D&D content on Dungeon Junkies.
Yeah, and you can find me at Matt UK.
Cool. So what have you guys got lined up for your next episodes?
Well, just last week, obviously, was Boxing Day.
Yeah.
And that one, we had our Christmas D&D special come out. It's called Sleigh Ride. It does what happens in. It's absolutely fantastic. I'm not saying because I edited it, but the characters are all from four different worlds, and they shouldn't work together.
But they work together so well. Like, it is incredible how well those characters work together.
If you have,
you wouldn't have put those characters together in a team, would you?
No.
And they just worked.
No.
Apart from certain things, they worked really well.
No spoilers, Alex.
Yeah. That's why I said certain things. I wasn't going to have any spoilers.
So that's what's just happened. And coming up, hopefully, we've got
first
show of the year, which should be Cyberpunk. If not, be the second show of the year. We've got a lot of stuff looking forward to next year. Including get back out there again.
It could be Valhalla.
If you actually go and play with damn things.
I've played enough of it. How much have you played?
That thing was you, to be fair. You quit the game, went and played Banjo-Tooie.
And that was a good fucking game.
Regrets? He has none.
No, I literally have no regrets. I sat on Banjo-Tooie for about 8 hours. I do not regret that.
Yeah, so thanks for being on, guys. Obviously, you can find me on Twitter at ChrisLewis37. Also have my YouTube stuff, which is Chris Reactor. I do share all my videos onto Twitter, so find my Twitter and you'll be able to find my podcasts, my YouTube, all in one place. So Twitter is the best thing to find me and everything. So I say once again, thank you for Matt and Alex, because it's currently very late in the evening, the week before Christmas, when we're recording this segment of the show. So thank you for staying up.
All I'm saying is I'm glad I got today off.
I don't. I'm up for work in 5 hours.
Oh, you lucky bastard.
Yeah. So, Chris, yeah. It was a pleasure to come and join you. If you wouldn't mind, may we? I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex.
We're the Game Junkies.
And we're out of here on Chris's show.
Well, I'm Chris. Thank you for listening if you still are at the end. And until the next episode, have a good new year and speak to you soon. Bye.
podcast is a Mass Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.